Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
All right. Good to hear Pastor Clive. Some of the words that he's using there. He's talking about purpose. He's talking about passion. About a life that is given to God. A life that's turned over to God. Richard brought a wonderful scripture this morning. And it's just great when you've prepared something to share and the guy that's leading the meeting stands up and he just preaches it before you. Well done, Richard. That's brilliant. No, it's great. It's great confirmation. So I thought we'd start with something simple here, like the meaning of life. Is that all right? It's going to ease you in gently this morning. Is that all right? We're going to talk about the meaning of life. Do you know what the meaning of life is and what is the purpose of your life? Could you describe it in 60 seconds if somebody asked you? Well, I'm going to have a go and see how I get on, all right? First is, you are an eternal being. That's what the Bible says about you. You are an eternal being. You're not just flesh and blood. You are loved. You have been made. You have been sent here for a purpose. God has a purpose for your life. And that purpose is to discover the love of God, to receive the love of God, to live in the love of God, and to live out the love of God to those you meet. That's God's purpose for your life. That's why He made you. That's why He's put you on this earth. That's why He sent you. You are anointed. You are sent. You have a mission. And that is it. You were made to be loved. And having been loved, you were made to love others. That's why God's put you here. Now, God is love. He is love. And because God is a lover and not a rapist, He will never force Himself on you. He gives you the choice. And every choice has consequences. We are eternal beings. So the choice we make determines where and how we will spend eternity. Wow. You are loved. You are loved. And I want to show you just how much you are loved by God and what an incredible plan and purpose God has for your life. So the aim today, what I sense as I started to seek God, what do you want this morning, Lord, is for you to know that you are, to know it, to know that you are an eternal being, that God loves you with a passion and has a plan for your life. I want to encourage you to press on to take hold of all that God has taken hold of you for and to determine to identify the gifts that He's given you, because He has, and to fan them into flame. We're reading the book of Timothy as a church. Some of these words are going to resonate because we've been reading them from there. And then to connect with others and serve them with the gifts God has given you. The gifts of the Spirit are power tools. It's not an end in itself, a tool. A tool is for a purpose. It's to build something. And the gifts that God has given you are to build up others. That's your DIY mission. That's your Easter mission, should you choose to accept it. Your DIY task is to build up others. So I wonder, have you ever wondered when eternal life begins? Does it begin when we're born again? Does it begin when we go to heaven? Let's read it from Scripture. Psalm 139. Now, just let God speak to you through this, because it's a passage, it's a love song. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. O Lord. You hem me in front and behind. You've laid your hand on me. Such knowledge. It's too wonderful for me. It's too lofty for me to attain. You see how loved you are. Do you get that sense? This is like an old married couple, you know, who've spent 60 years together and are still in love with one another, talking to each other. This is how much you love me. Our thoughts, our hearts beat as one. And this is how much God, your Father in heaven, loves you. And he has always loved you. He loved you before you were born. Let's go to verse 14. This is David's prayer. It's such a wonderful psalm. I'd love to read it all. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was formed, when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together, skillfully, beautifully made in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You are loved.
Yes.
And you always have been.
Yes.
You are an eternal being. You're not on your own. You're not cast adrift. You're not abandoned. You're not left to struggle to work it out. You are loved. And your life has been written down in heaven. Have you ever seen an illuminated manuscript? How beautifully they're drawn. How much care and trouble is put over those wonderful manuscripts. They are labors of love and worship. There's a manuscript like that with your story in heaven that your Father loved to write. He loved to write your story. It's just beautiful. So God has a purpose for you. You are not an accident. You are here because someone who loved you, chose you, made you, sent you, and has a mission for you. You are here with a mission. Let's read a little bit about that in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29, 11. We know this well. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. God says he will listen to you. If you ever struggle to find him, if you ever struggle to hear him, ever struggle to sense that you're being heard by him, these are his words to you. I will listen. Just come. And it continues to say, when you seek me with your whole heart, I will be found by you. I will, not I might, I will be found by you. And I will bring you back. Back where? Back into that sense of eternal love by God your Father who made you lovingly. Back into that sense of his presence as a father who delights in you, who rejoices over you, who wrote out your story with such tender care. Back to that, back to that. He'll bring you back to that. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Why? To do good works, which God has prepared in advance for you to do. He's prepared them for you. They're there for you. How do we find them? Seek him. Come back to his love. Give yourself more fully to being loved by him. Give yourself more fully to expressing the love of God that he's poured out to you, through you, to others. That's why we're here. That's God's mission and purpose. Now, each of us has different gifts. Each of us has different abilities. Each of us has different dreams. So God has a different purpose for you to for you. It's different. It's uniquely yours. It's your story that's been written in heaven, not somebody else's. You don't have to be anybody other than who you are. Just be who you are, God says to you. Be who you are, because you're special. You're unique. You're loved. God loves you. He loves you. God has called us to fruitfulness. That's His word that He's spoken over each of our lives. Fruitfulness. This world and life's experience can speak barrenness over us. Well, we just have to tear those words up and throw them away, because God has spoken fruitfulness over your life. What God wants for you is a full life and an expanded life, an expanded life, more for you than you could imagine for yourself. And it's all poured out in love. It's not too hard. It's not too difficult. It's not a trial. It's not a test. Come on. He's not looking for you to fail. He's looking for you to rise up and be what He's called you to be, because He loves you and He's calling you on. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. And as was Richard, I think, prayed it earlier, we have the privilege of partnering with Him in seeing His kingdom come, of catching His heart and His burden for change, so that that becomes ours. And we look around and we say, God, may Your kingdom come and use me, use me, use me to live forever with Him and enjoy a heavenly reward, which He promises. Amazing. So your eternal life began before you were born. That's what it says, Psalm 139. Began before you were born, when God made you, and it will continue forever. How we relate to God, how we receive His love, how we connect with Him determines our eternal destiny. But this isn't intended to make you go, oh my, it's intended to make you go, yes! Wonderful! How fantastic is that? What an amazing present we have. What an amazing future we have. Yes. Paul writes at the end of Timothy. We're on 2 Timothy at the minute. Right, I skipped to the end here. I read the whole lot. 2 Timothy 4:7. He says this. What a thing to say. I want to say this. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I want to say these things. Do you? Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. That's what He promises. That's what He will do. What I want to do, I want to fight the good fight. I want to finish that race. Now, Paul wrote that around about AD 67. He was chained. He was in prison in Rome. He was eventually to be put to death by Nero, who took him out of the city where his death would not cause much trouble, and had him beheaded. Well, I didn't shut him up, did it? My goodness me. All of those epistles, his whole life's work, everything about Paul. You can't shut somebody up by topping them, I tell you. Not that man. 1 Timothy 6:11, this is what he says. This is a few years earlier when he was under house arrest. He wrote this. But you, man and woman of God, you. Flee from all the rubbish. Flee from the distraction. Just don't get bogged down. Don't get messed up. Don't get distracted. You know, one of the enemy's greatest techniques is distraction. Our lives are full of distraction. It can come in the form of worry. It could come in the form of telly. It could come in the form of anything. But our lives are so hugely distracted. If you're going to flee from anything that you haven't thought about fleeing from before, flee from distraction and focus on the Lord. Pursue. I'm going for that. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. Take hold of it. I was at a wonderful wedding yesterday. It was a great fusion of cultures. It was some friends of mine, very small, very petite, very fine-boned, white people. That's the wife marrying strapping great Nigerian guy. I mean, the dancing was a thing, you know. Pointless getting up to dance when you see what these guys are doing. It was this great fusion of these two cultures. And the best man was saying at the speech that the man Dami, who was marrying Sophie, he said he was like a lion. He said he saw his prey and he pursued her. He hunted her down. He tracked her down and he got his wife. Wonderful. They were just wonderful together. That's the sense that Paul has. Pursue this. Lay hold of it. Be purposeful. Be passionate. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. A couple of years earlier, and still in jail, Paul wrote Philippians. Just love this passage, Philippians 3. Not that I've already obtained all of this, he says, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. From the very moment of God sending you to this earth, He was calling you heavenwards. He was calling you heavenwards. You're here for a purpose. This is not an end in itself. This is a beginning. This is a training. God's got an eternal destiny for you, which has already begun. It's begun here. And the calling on your life and my life is to lay hold of Him and all that He has for us, because it's going to go on forever and ever and ever. It's going to get better and better and better. Make the best of it. Make the best of it. Listen to Paul's language. Fight, endure, guard, take hold, train, labor, strive, persevere, flee, pursue, press on, give yourself wholly. It is totally active. It is not in any way passive. It isn't in any way sitting around waiting to see what turns up. Not for a second is it like that. But it's about choosing, we choosing, you choosing what will happen in your life with God. Your father, who's written it down, says, come on, come on, Jonathan, I've got this for you. Each stepping stone, you step on it and take hold of what God has got for you, because it's good. I tell you, it's not automatic. It is not automatic. We are called to press into it, take hold of it, lay siege to it, grab it, grasp it, make it your own, take it. You're called to be like Jacob, saying, I will not let you go until you bless me. Okay, get it. Get that fire in your belly, because that's what God has called you to do. You're here for a purpose, and it is to live purposefully for the one who loves you, with the one who loves you, in His love, giving away His love to others. So God gives us dreams. How do we know what it is God's called us to do? How do we know? Well, He sets dreams in our hearts. It says in Ecclesiastes, God has set eternity in people's hearts. We have a sense. We have a sense. The Psalms say that God gives you the desire of your hearts. Now, you can read that two ways. He puts a desire in you, and then He fulfills that desire. But it's all about giving ourselves to it, not just sitting around thinking, well, thank you, that's nice. Let's see what happens next. It doesn't work like that. That's not the language that's coming out here. That's not the tone that's coming out in these scriptures. So your purpose, if you're not yet sure of it, the specifics of your purpose in life, why you are here, is probably linked to your desire, because God gives you those desires. It's probably not the thing you least want to do or most want to avoid. It's probably the thing you most want to run to, but hardly dare hope it could be true. hope it. Hope it. Believe it. Take hold of it. Identify your dream and your desire because God has given it to you. It's written in your book. It's written for you. It's written eternally for you. Take hold of it. You know the story of the loaves and the fishes, the feeding of two sets of miracles. It was just leftover fish. It was just leftover bread. Not very much. Not very fresh. Not very appetizing. That's all we got. What do we do with that? We bring it to Jesus. And he takes this stuff and he doesn't go, what's this? He's not going to do that with your life, you know. You give your life to him, he's not going to go, what is this? What am I supposed to do with that? He could have said that, but he doesn't say that. He says, welcome home! Come on! So whatever we've got, don't despise what you've got. God gives you a dream. Give him the stale bread. Give him the old fish. And he will bless it. He will break it. And he will multiply it. And then he will give it back to you to distribute it. Wow. It started out as stale fish. It ended up feeding a multitude with enough left over to point to another generation, another people who are going to be blessed. With enough left over to point to nations who are going to be blessed. Wow. A couple of stale fish and loaves. Amazing. Don't despise the day's small beginnings. Don't despise yourself. Whatever anybody's said about you, God doesn't. He loves you. He knows every word before you say it, and he loves you. And he just calls you forth. And everything that burns in your heart, he calls it forth. And he calls you beloved. Beloved, my special one. He's fabulous. He's amazing. 1 Timothy 4:10 says, for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God. I just want to encourage you, whatever your dream, your desire is, give it back to him. He won't take it away. He will expand it. He will multiply it. He will bless it. He'll break it. There's a risk. It has to be broken to be distributed. Yield your hope to him. Love always gives, and God gives us gifts to give to others. So we're accountable for how we steward those gifts, our lives and our gifts. So we need to be purposeful. Purposefully identify your gift. Don't be vague about it. Be purposeful and say, okay, I'm not sure what it is at the minute, but say, Lord, I want to know. What is the gift that you've given me? What are the gifts that you want to give me yet? Because it doesn't just stop there. It grows. Determine to develop those gifts, to connect with others, to serve them. Because the gifts that God has given you, because he's love, are for others. They are for others. You won't lose them by giving them away. They will be multiplied as you give them away. 1 Corinthians 12 gives us an idea of what some of these gifts are. It's just a beginning, really. But let's just read a few bits of it here. Because today, I want you to identify your gifts and determine before God that that gift is going to grow, be fanned into flame. It's for you to fan it into flame. It's for you to do that and given to others. I want you to do that. That's where we're going today. You've got a card in front of you. We'll come back to that. But we're going to get you to do something today. So 1 Corinthians 12 says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are by the Spirit. And verse 31 says, eagerly desire. Eagerly desire. Don't settle for less. Your life isn't finished. Your eternal life has barely begun. Don't settle for anything other than the fullness that God has for you. Eagerly desire. It doesn't matter how old you are, how long you've been a Christian. Are you still eagerly desiring? Is there eagerness in you? Is there zeal in you? Is there passion in you? God's given you that to fan into flame. So press on, press on. And there are other gifts too, and the scriptures talk about other gifts. This is not an exhaustive list. But in Timothy, Paul says this to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:14. He says, do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. It should be visible because it isn't for you. The gifts are for others. What's the point of having words of wisdom for you? They're for others. Knowledge for you? Prophecy for you? It's for others. So people should see. It should be plain and obvious to people that you are developing the gift that God has given you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, wholeheartedly, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and others. You're here for others, Larry. You know that. Colin, you're here for others. You're a great servant. You're here for others. People can see that in you, and people honor you for what you do in helping things and helping with things. We honor you. 2 Timothy 1:6. Today's reading, I think. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Folks, what is it that bridges the gap between potential and reality? Quite often it's self-discipline. Quite often it's saying, I am pressing on to take hold, in season and out, whether I feel like it or don't. Bible college is great for that, isn't it, students? When you finish, the discipline you're under now has to be self-discipline. You have to run with it. You have to carry on with what you've been trained to do when you finish. But you can do that because God has given you that spirit. He has given it to you. But we have to fan it into flame. So you've got a card there, and there should be a pen fairly near you. Now, a lot of these pens are new, and they might just have to be coaxed to get them going, but they should write, all right? So just put your name on that card. Nobody else is going to see this but you. This is just for you. Put your name on that card. And write down the gift God has given you. Put your name on the card for your eyes only and write down the gift God has given you. How do we define that gift? It's the way you serve. It's the way you love others. It might be encouragement. It might be hospitality. Whatever it is, God wrote it in his book, and it should be possible to read that out loud with clarity and determination. Say, this is my gift. And you won't just have one. And if you're sitting there now thinking, really not sure what to write, then write this down. I will press on to take hold of the gifts you want to give me. Thank you, Lord. See, none of us has finished this journey. God has more for you. So if you're unclear, sitting there, what is the gift that God has put in you, that you are for the body of Christ? Diligently seek him for it, and he will show you. Don't just wait for it to turn up. Seek him. He'll show you. And we're going to help you as leadership. So Pentecost is coming up on the 4th of June. And as a leadership, we'll be laying hands on people to receive gifts. Gifts of the Holy Spirit, gifts for service. We'll be doing that. The Discover course that we've been doing in the church is being replaced by a new course called Grow. And the second part or the third part of that course is about discovering your gifts. Okay? So please don't sit here now thinking, I have no idea what to write in this bit of paper and I'm feeling awkward. Because if that's how you feel, that's fine. That's where you are on your journey. Put one foot in front of the other now and just move on. God will give you gifts. If you seek me with your whole heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord. So seek him. Seek him. Seek him. It's not presumptuous. It's not demanding things of God. It's just saying, God, you have a destiny for me, and I want to honor you by walking in it. So show me in what way am I a gift in this body. Another way of doing this, another way of releasing your gifts is small groups. You're wondering when I was going to get around to that, weren't you? So we're launching our new season of small groups in May. And we've heard Pastor Clive talk about those. These small groups are the heart of the church. They're the place where you connect with people. They're the place where you love them, where you speak words of life into them and receive words of life from them. Important to do both. So just to be really clear, at the back there, two tables, we've got seven groups which are kicking off. And these are all kicking off. None of them automatically roll over. So if you're down for a previous group, you're going to need to sign up again because we do everything purposefully. We don't do things by habit. Just because we did it doesn't mean we're doing it tomorrow. We want to be a people of purpose. So please sign up again for your group. Don't sign up for seven that you can't attend. Find one that you can attend. Two at most. But let me encourage you, please find one that you can attend, and not just attend, give yourself to, because you're giving yourself and your passion to others. And that's the purpose, to let people be a blessing to you and find a place where you can be a blessing to them. That is fruitfulness in your life. So we give people the right to speak words of life into our life. So there are seven groups. There's the homeless group, which is doing a great job. It doesn't mean the people in the group are homeless, but they're serving the homeless. It doesn't mean you've got to give up your house to join that one. There's Raising Champions. Brilliant. We're going to hear about these over the next couple of weeks. There's a craft group. There's a Way of the Spirit. There's Outreach. There's Ladies Who. And there's a whole new group called Stronghold. So let's hear about some of those. Isabel, come tell us about the craft group, please. Got a microphone.
Craft group. Now, we started it really as a place where like-minded people can come together. But really, more than anything, my heart is for it to bring in the unsaved. And it can be an outreach because Janet's been bringing a friend of hers in. And, you know, it really is a place to reach out and to let them see that we are quite normal as Christians and we do normal things. Terry's shaking his head. Well, sometimes we're normal, Terry. But we do have good fun. Last week we had quite a good spiritual time. Other times we just craft and chat. But it really is just if you know people that you think would like to come along, it's a stepping stone for them to come into church. And that was my idea. It's up and down. Sometimes we've got very good numbers. Sometimes we don't have so many. But God spoke to me this morning when you were preaching, and it was Psalm 139, verse 15. Did you know that God's a crafter? In my Bible, it says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret and intricately and curiously wrought, as if embroidered with various colours. In the depth of the earth, a region of darkness and mystery. So God crafted us, he saw us, and he thought, oh, I'll give her blue eyes, I'll give her dark hair, and so he crafted us. So I believe that God has made us creative. And so if anyone wants to come and join us, we'd love to see you, and we have a good time.
Well done, Isabel. You can find out more about that at the back. Yeah, give her a clap. Wonderful. Andrea, where's Andrea? Here she is. Come and tell us about the outreach group. Just a reminder while Andrea's coming up, you may have been going to the craft group for a long time, but you need to sign up again. Just saying that again, because we found that across the three congregations, there's a kind of a presumption that these things will go on forever. They will not. Please let's have the presumption that they have a season, they end, and then they start again, or something fresh happens. Okay? So purposefully re-sign.
Yes. Our outreach group, to be honest, I'm so excited just because this outreach group has been running for 2 seasons now, and we started off with one person, Sonia, and then Andrew came along as well. So it's like it has been like 2, 3, and I knew and I know still in my heart I needed to persevere, because I know my heart is literally for the people out there who just need to know God. And so I've persevered, and the second season, I was like, come on, I'm up for it. I don't mind who is coming. And then yesterday we had literally such a good time. We had 8 people from here, and we just prayed with people. We loved people. It was incredible. And for me, one of the incredible things was, Bella and Blake had that 2 girls with them. So it's like children. So if your excuse is, I can't because I don't have children, that's not a good excuse, because they can really come along as well and be part of it. So if you just want to reach out, if you don't know, if you are a little bit scared, or if you find it very easy, come along. It is once in 2 weeks. I will give you specific dates when you sign up, because when we have an open house, we won't have it. But when we won't have an open house, we will have outreach. So it's once in 2, 3 weeks. So please talk to me if you have any questions. It is amazing. So that's it. Is that all what I need to say?
Brilliant, Andrea. She's lovely, isn't she? Let's give her a clap, because she's carrying a flame here. She is just terrific. You know, Jesus sent out his disciples in pairs. Why? Because they were never meant to do things on their own. Okay? We're meant to stand with each other and encourage one another, give one another some confidence, support each other, pray for each other. So with the outreach, if you're thinking, I'd like to, but I never have, this is your chance. You're not on your own. Okay, you won't be on your own. You'll be in a place of encouragement. Fan into flame the gifts God has given you. And if you're unclear about the gifts, then start with the desire. Start with the dream. God has given you the inkling of a dream in your life, which is intended to be your starter for 10. Get going with it. And the other group we're going to hear about today is a new one, and it's called Stronghold. And it's we've done this once before in Horsham. It's a fantastic way of getting men particularly. I'm not sure, is this just for men? JD's going to come out here. Instead of me blathering on about what it might be, why don't you tell us what it is going to be? It's going to be good.
Say afternoon. Morning, everybody. Stronghold. How many of you want to live in a stronghold that God has made? If you're a bloke particularly, I just want you to tune in just for a moment. Over a 40-day period, we together as men
We look into the life of David, King David, how he challenged lifestyle. He was challenged in all kinds of areas, and how he broke through and how he managed to build godly strongholds in his life. And he did this through relationship with other blokes. So for a 40-day period, we have a whole program of discipleship where we're in small groups, which are called squads. Each squad has about three blokes in it and one mentor, which is exciting. Over this 40-day period, we have three men on parades. They're big events, a lot of food involved with those. All the blokes went, yay! But there's also some activities, team building, a lot of creative sport, also some content for some blokes about kind of issues that men sometimes have challenges with. And the last of the 40 nights on actually day 40 and then into 41 slightly, is an overnight stay where we find out what everybody's sleeping habits are like. Whoever falls asleep first manages to sleep all night. Or snoring in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But we've run this three times. The first time we had 130 men from the church on it. It was a powerful 40 days. Tremendously encouraging. Many of these small squads 10 years ago are still meeting up now, praying together, meeting up for teas, coffees during the week. It's very powerful, very strong. It's very male. So there's a lot of blokey activities. Which we won't go into now because there's children that might listen to this. If you're interested in this, please sign up today or a week today. The actual 40 days begins on the 5th of June. So there's, if you're a blokey and not quite sure, either chat with me after this or after next Sunday. Or just chat with me over the next couple of weeks, because there's time to sign up for this, even if you don't manage it this period. But we want to get a ballpark figure this week and next week. So if you're a bloke and you'd like to come, get involved, please sign up. If you're married to a bloke, think they need to do it, sign up for them. And then tell them when you get home. Thank you.
Well done. So today, after we finish, tables at the back, please go and have a look at the material. Please talk to the leaders of these groups who will be there. We'll hear from the other four next week. All right? Find out what's going on. We pursue our passions here. The thing about Stronghold, we did it once before. What was so good about it, I did it when I first joined the church, is that the relationships you form go really deep. And it's really so important, you know, as I said earlier, we were never meant to be on our own. Okay, this is a race to be run. You need witnesses to cheer you on. The word says there's a great cloud of witnesses cheering you on. Part of that great cloud is here today. Everybody wants to cheer you on and see you succeed, just like God your Father wants to see you succeed. Okay, so we're not on our own, but find a group, whether it's Stronghold or something else, where you will give yourself to the people and let them give themselves to you, and God will do amazing things in your life. We'll hear about the others next week. So you've got a card in front of you. You've put down your gift on it. Let's just stand to our feet, please. We're going to make a declaration. Now, either that's been an immediate, clear, simple blessing to you, and you thought, I know what my gift is. I've written it down. I'm happy. Or you're thinking, I don't know where to start. That's brilliant, because you just made a start. You just made that start. Okay? The Lord says, seek me, and you will find me. So we're going to make a declaration. Don't worry if you can't read it. Who can read that easily? Not many of you. So you follow me then, okay? Just take that card that you've got. Nobody else is going to see this. So lift it to the Lord and let's start. Just follow me line by line, because you probably won't be able to read all of this. Father, I choose to receive your love. Your turn. And live in your love now and forever.
Thank you for loving me.
Lord, you have a plan and a purpose for my life.
You have declared that my life will be fruitful.
As I learn to walk hand in hand with you,
and give myself wholly to your service.
You will give me gifts to serve others.
I will discover those gifts and fan them into flame. and give myself wholly in the service of others.
You have not given me a spirit of timidity,
but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline.
So I will train myself to be godly.
I will learn to be bold in your service.
I will discipline myself to fight the good fight of the faith.
I will use my gifts to help others run their race.
And I will allow others to help me
to run and finish my own race.
Until I see you face to face and receive my reward.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.